Chapter 10. The Poles, the Germans, the Jews. As time passed, we realized that it would be impossible to survive in Radzin. In order to save ourselves, many Jews went to the villages and forests where they tried to establish contact with the partisans. Supposedly, they were previous Russian prisoners of war and also Poles in the woods. When the Gestapo noticed that many Jews had fled, they offered to the Poles a reward of 1 kilogram of bacon and 1 of sugar for each Jew turned in. After that, it often happened that Polish farmers caught a Jew, tied him to one of their flat wagons, and, like taking a pig to market, turned him over to the Gestapo for his reward. Increasingly, Jews were found who had been stabbed, beaten, and robbed. For this reason, many Jews returned to the Jewish districts and ghettos with their spirits broken. Some tried their luck disguised as Poles and registering voluntarily as foreign workers to Germany. Others tried to hide in the big cities. In all cases, we were dependent on the support of the Polish population, whose assistance, unfortunately, was rare. To the contrary, the power of the Nazis was based partly on the considerable support which anti-Jewish laws received amongst the Polish population. It was not by chance that Poland was chosen as the place for the extermination of the Jews. We Jewish people, above all the youth, knew enough about our situation and evaluated it correctly. We were all prepared to sacrifice our lives in the battle against the Nazis. We would have been glad to be able to offer resistance. That was not heroism. We simply had nothing more to lose. Unfortunately, there was no central organization to guide us. The whole Nazi machinery was organized and directed against Jews. We had no mail service, no use of telephones, trains, streetcars, buses, trucks, wagons, not even bicycles. And failure to obey meant the death penalty. A Jew without a Judenstern who appeared to be among Poles was inevitably recognized, if not by the Germans, then by the Poles, and turned over to the Gestapo. A Jew could not leave his house or apartment for even 5 minutes without facing the danger of being detained by the Gestapo, the Schutzpolizei, secret agents, or the Jewish militia, among others. Each of these watchdogs could throw us in prison, or make us shine shoes, clean toilets, or perform any menial task they wished. They could send us to Auschwitz, Treblinka, or Majdanek. They were also allowed to beat us to death, rob and shoot us, since it was open season for Jew hunting. How many times did one meet someone accidentally in the street or house to talk, plan to meet again, and the next morning that person had simply disappeared? The Nazis sought the destruction of all communication. They surprised us with their inhumanity at every turn. Their brutality was so incalculable that we could not conceive of any man that was capable of such behaviour. We therefore always reacted too late to avoid them. At the German civilian and military offices of Radzin, the former expectations of victory began to vanish. The German army's perfect invasion of Russia could be well observed from Radzin, which is only 70 to 80 kilometres away from the border. This perfection decreased daily. More frequently than ever, one began to see convoys of wounded German soldiers returning from Russia. At the same time, one saw thousands of Russians prisoners of war. They were often guarded in the open, where they died en masse from malnutrition. Some managed to escape and hide in the woods, where they too died of exhaustion, disease, and hunger.